Welcome to The Thriving Christian Artist, the podcast where we help you connect with God to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live as an artist in His kingdom. I'm Matt Tama, your host. Let's get started. Well, hey there. I'm so glad that you're with me on the podcast today. I've got my new friend, Mark DeJesus, with me, who is an incredible teacher, author, transformational consultant, also husband and dad. And Mark, the thing I love about you is that you are passionate like I am for helping people overcome those limitations that hold them back and really live out of the fullness of the kingdom that lives inside of us. So I'm so stinking excited that you're here with me today.
It's great to be here. And I feel like there's like a lost brotherhood kind of thing going on here where you are a long lost brother that I've found. So I'm excited to be able to talk with you. I love your heart already, and I'm looking forward to get to know more.
Absolutely. For those of you that are like, what are they talking about? We were just talking like for 20 minutes before we came on here. And we're like, we should probably record a podcast because we're just having a good time getting to know each other. But wow, I'm so overwhelmed when I get to meet other people in the kingdom who carry this real passion for identity. And you don't only carry the passion, you're walking this every day, helping people move through these issues. You've written 5 books. The book that I was exposed to was Exposing the Rejection Mindset, which I just have loved. And it's really the impetus of having you on today, because I know that rejection is something that so many people deal with, and it can be the root of so many symptoms and other things that happen in our life. So talk a little bit about your own journey, you know, into that. Because I know when people write books, like I've written books, and, you know, we typically write out of our own journey and what the Lord does in us, because that's where the greatest authority comes from, right? So how did the Lord even begin to bring this whole concept on your radar?
Well, I was a pastor on staff at a church where I was in charge of worship and church productions, and I was doing very well from the outside, from a performance standpoint, as far as how things seemed to be going. But on the inside, I was deeply struggling with having sanity and peace in my mind. I was going through a major breakdown, constant anxiety. My thoughts were getting so obsessive. I couldn't walk in any kind of peace. I'm like, here I am, a Christian, and everyone else seems to be walking fine. I actually came to discover that that's not true either. But exactly. It's like, you know, when you're in pain, you look around and go, man, what is wrong with me? And through the course and series of events and people that God brought into my life, I was able to realize that I had some brokenness I needed to deal with regarding how I dealt with love, how I saw myself, where I found identity, where I found significance. All that had gone way off what God had intended for me. So I was so hungry for transformation, so hungry for healing, that I was like, God, if it's in your word, if there's something I need to know, if it's there, even if it hurts, I want to be well. And it led me on a journey where I began to discover many of the root system kind of things that drive so much of our dysfunction, the stuff we don't like doing, that the addiction habits we fall into. And I realized I had a broken heart. I realized that I didn't know who I was. And so I let God come to the foundation and like start from scratch. I'm like, deal with me as though I'm just starting over. And sometimes that's the best way to do it, rather than try to patch holes. It's like, let's just gut this thing. And so I began reading, listening to people that were talking on any kind of frequency down these avenues about getting to the deeper areas. And one of the ones I discovered very quickly was a rejection root system, a root of rejection, which I found is very foundational, kind of sits at like the bedrock of most of the things that we struggle with. And to make a long story short, I was actually sitting in a church service where they were teaching on the book of Romans, and they were in Romans 7, and I read ahead to Romans 8. I was like, I want to see where we're headed in the upcoming teachings. And I found myself landing in Romans 8:15, where he talks about, you've not been given a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've been given adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And I had this divine moment where I really felt strongly in my heart, God was pointing to that verse and saying, that's what rejection does right there. And once I realized, okay, I've got that in my life, it helped me to uncover how I sought to feel loved, how I found identity, how I found validation, and how I did relationships, which were all twisted and distorted, but it was easy for me to kind of keep that all like working. And it's often not until we come to like a crash or some kind of crisis or a major addiction flares up that then we go, oh, I got to deal with something, which is what happened to me. So that process led me to then discovering more areas of fear and dealing with bitter areas and dealing with performance issues and relate. And it opened up a whole grid that God began to open up to me by which I started to help other people. It led me into other pastoring, where I'd pastored a small church for a number of years. But then about 3 to 4 years ago, my wife and I launched out completely into full-time writing, creating content, doing one-on-one coaching work, and then group consulting in various avenues. We just help people to live more free from the heart and kind of deal with the root system. And my passion is to make it insightful, but also practical and not so scary, which we kind of look at it and go, oh my goodness, this is, you know, the most frightening thing in the world. And really, it's safe with God. Sometimes we just need some equipping along the way. So it's led me to where I am now, and love talking about this stuff and love helping, love rolling up my sleeves and helping people. But I found rejection to be probably one of the most primary avenues. If people could take just a little bit of time to see how that's impacted their thinking, it could be a major game changer. And if, especially if you're an artist, it will really refine and empower what flows out of you and keep you strong for the long haul as well too. Yeah. So that's kind of a summary.
Absolutely. That's, I think, you know, as I was reading your book and, you know, as we were talking before, I've done, I would say, a lot of work just because of the large amount of wounding that I had in my own life. And in fact, somebody said, you know, sometimes people have issues and then some people have lifetime subscriptions. And I got lifetime subscriptions.
That's good.
I mean, I had a lot of stuff going on. And so I've done a lot of work, you know, praise God, around healing my own hearts, you know, seeing the Lord heal those places in me and restoring that identity, father wounds, all that sort of stuff. I have to say though, Mark, the way that you wrote this book was so simple, so clear. I cannot point to a better book on dealing with rejection in a healthy way than yours. And I don't say that to just cause we're on the podcast. I mean, really, it is a beautifully, beautifully written book. And I don't know, it the thing that I appreciate about it, and I appreciate this about any author that writes from an authentic place, is that you're writing it out of your own journey. Because I think the things that we have authority in our life are the things that God's done in us, right? And, you know, as we get to walk in that, he then releases healing out of us. And so I've really, really appreciated that about the book. I want to jump into this whole thing about how rejection starts, because, you know, for me, I grew up as a kid in a Christian home. Everybody loved Jesus, but everybody was really wounded.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you have a wounded grid, you do life off of a wounded grid, and you do the best you can, but hurt people, right? And so my dad and I had a really, really tenuous relationship growing up. I know I've talked to so many people like that. And so my lens that I viewed God from, that I viewed myself from, my own relationship with what's possible, and surely my creativity, all of that got colored, if you will, by that wounded grid. Talk about that for, you know, how that affects people and how it even affects you.
Absolutely.
And the effect that can have deep down.
Well, it starts off from understanding that we were all meant to be loved. We were meant to be loved and shown the demonstration and experience of the love of the Father in our lives. And it's interesting that you can grow up in Christianity and not really truly have a heart experience with the unconditional love of God, which was my case. It's like I grew up with a sense of like, he's very holy, and I better watch out, like, because I can't measure up to it, but I'm going to try, and I'm going to do everything I can to feel like I can get into his presence. And I have these momentary blips where I can connect to it, but for the most part, I'm just kind of running and hiding, avoiding him, and spending time with him is just more me like trying to repent of things that, you know, I can think of. So when that love foundation isn't truly embedded in our hearts, and it's through our parents that become the initial conduit, they become the representation. So I hear the frequency of Father God through the lens of what my earthly father establishes or doesn't establish. Now, no matter how great he is, there's areas that I still got to grow in and still got to lean into, because God is the perfect father. But when that isn't established, when the love atmosphere of being unconditionally loved for who you are, not for what you do. That's the key pivotal point, is that you're loved. You're loved in your failures. You're loved in your mistakes. You're absolutely loved and cherished. Then love gets hijacked. And when love gets hijacked, identity gets hijacked. Because now what's the basis of who you are? The love of the Father creates an atmosphere where you know who you are, because that's what the Father does. He loves you, and he bestows identity. So we see that modeled in the baptism of Jesus, where the Father speaks. He says, "This is my dearly loved son." You know, most translations say beloved. No one talks like that anymore. It's dearly loved. I love him. Everybody, I want you to hear this. I love him, and he's my son. He's my boy, in whom I am well pleased. So you see the work of the Father establishing love relationship, identity, and then approval and validation. So if that's not, if the love isn't established, identity gets hijacked. I'm going to find my identity in what I do, what I accomplish, what people say about me. I mean, the list just dominoes. And then my validation of, at the end of the day, what gauge do I use to feel at peace, to feel fulfilled? It's going to be on how much money I'm making, what people say, or the approval of the crowd. If we're talking about pastoral ministry, it's, you know, the applause, was my presentation good enough? Am I getting enough amens, or whatever it is? And I was lock, stock, and barrel in all of those dysfunctional, you name it. The reason I'm so good at writing about it at times is you know, people say, how do you know my battles? I'm like, everything I'm writing about, I have touched in my life.
That's right. So I'm an expert. I know all this, right?
Yeah. You want to know performance-driven Christianity, man, I'm that poster, put the label there. There's my face.
Yeah.
I lived for it, and no one ever told me that there was a better way. So to get the healing that I needed to go back through that system of what I just described and get back to the love foundation. And it started with that I did not know how to experience the love of Father God. And there's this interesting little thing that exists in Christianity, but it's a big one. And that is, we accept Jesus and our Lord becomes a comfortable focus, but we're avoiding the Father. And Jesus said, I came to show you the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he even said to his disciples, don't say that I'll pray the Father for you. Go to him, and in my name, you'll be able to access him. So I said to God, I just got honest. I said, I don't know you as a father. I don't know you as a dad. I don't get it. I just don't get it. But would you teach me? I want to learn. And I let myself kind of go through the uncomfortable stages of what is it like to relate to God as a dad, as a father. Once I did that, then I see this rejection at every turn. The rejection mindset was there to say, to bring in the image of father that was dysfunctional in me up and put that on God. He doesn't listen. Yeah. He doesn't pay attention to you. He's not really here. He's busy doing other stuff. And by the way, you're not holy enough. It was just creating division, division, division. So rejection's number one operative is to create a sense of separation. You feel separated from God's love, separated from the identity he's placed in your life, separated from relational connection that's real, that's authentic. And if that can be bought in your thinking, now you've got this, I mean, just imagine a tree with all these branches. When a root of rejection is down there, you've got everything from performance-driven living to addictions to people-pleasing to envy and jealousy to just self-rejection. I mean, the list goes on, all because the foundation is needed that you're loved for who you are. And your identity is as a son or a daughter, so I had to rebuild that. My identity is not a preacher, worship leader, whatever. My identity is God's son in whom he's pleased with right now. And I began to kind of find, all right, what are the nuts and bolts? What does a life look like for me to engage that? But that was the start. And I kind of looked at, all right, rejection's everywhere. It's just everywhere. So I'm just going to assume it's infected my whole being. So instead of like just piecemealing this, let's just start with going, all right, it's everywhere, so let me get the exterminator. come on in, and where are we going to start?
Clean house, baby. Right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, there's Matt. And, you know, one of the things that I found over the years in working with artists is that real lasting change in our life happens best in the context of supportive Christian community. And that's why I wanted to take this opportunity just to take a second and invite you to be a part of my online community called the Thriving Christian Artist Facebook group. Listen, this group is absolutely free, and over the years has actually grown to thousands and thousands of artists in just about every creative medium from countries all over the world. You know, the cool thing is that it's become a real place of encouragement and life for artists just like you and me who want to share their work, share their life, connect with other artists, and really pursue everything God has for us as artists in his kingdom. Now listen, to join, all you have to do is just click the link in the show notes here and answer a couple of questions just to let us know that you're a real person, and bam, you're in, okay? So listen, I can't wait to connect with you inside of my Thriving Christian Artist Facebook group. Do it now, and we'll see you there very soon. All right, bye.
Let's talk about that, because I found in my own life that I think rejection is a real sneaky kind of root, that it's operating in your life. And it may be something like, you'd be like, rejection? I'm not dealing with rejection. You know, I'm not feeling overtly rejected. Right. But then you start, like, I thought that was one of the really great parts about your book, is that you are so clear about, well, are you dealing with this? Are you dealing with that? What about this? What about that? Because the enemy is always on these extremes, right? It's not just performance. It can also be social anxiety and avoidance. That's, you know, right. It can also be passive aggressive, as much as it can be, you know, overtly being prideful and braggadocious and all of that. So talk to people, if people are starting to think, maybe I am dealing with some of this root of rejection in my life. What are some of the things that you would point to that people may be struggling with as a symptom of this deeper root in their life?
What you brought up is absolutely amazing, first of all. So thank you. You get it. And that's great, because the one hurdle I have to get over in order to help people to embrace what I'm talking about is the term rejection. They'll think, well, I haven't really had somebody like reject me, so I'm good. You know, that's right. Not even true anyways, but that's an initial statement. That's kind of like, it's, that's why I call it a mindset, because it's a grid. It's anywhere where I'm not like rooted, grounded in love, identity, and approval, validation with God, is going to be a place of rejection. It's going to invade. So where you can see it manifest the most is in your relationship grid, with how you process and do relationships. So for people, what we've done as a society is we take certain like dysfunctional patterns that we have relationally, and we've kind of just taken them as labels. So when people say, well, I'm just a born perfectionist, or, you know, I just have this people pleasing issue. And they kind of accept it like they do, you know, paying taxes. It's like this thing I don't like, but I got to do it. So, and I came to a discovery, no, I don't have to live with those areas driving my life. It doesn't mean I'm going to get over it overnight. Yeah. But I can actually get free from some of those things if I get to the root system. So people pleasing is a big one. Anywhere where I'm placed in a group setting somehow. It could be social media. I'm scrolling through social media and boom, 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 you're just getting nailed. I'll give you an example.
Right.
I remember years ago when I was pastoring a small church, and we were struggling to get some things growing, and I'd worked in a really large church where it's like, you know, I had a great budget, I had like staffing, volunteers, and now God puts me in a total different setting where it's like stuff doesn't work as easily, right? And I remember it was a real season of going through another layer of dealing with rejection, the rejection mindset in my life. And I remember it was weird. Every Saturday night, I somehow found myself, like as I'm prepping for church, I'm scrolling through social media and all these other people, the churches are growing and these rock star guys and amazing. And I'm just like, I feel like I'm just being shot all over. Like I'm just being, like bullets are just flying at me, right? That's just kind of one example where the comparison thing comes into play. Or what do we do to feel safe in our own skin relationally? Do we have to put on something and fabricate? Like do we have to put on a mask and be on? Do we have to, many of us feel this sense of, you know, if I don't show up, if this thing doesn't pull through, if this doesn't happen, then I'm a failure and I won't be accepted. So there's this pathway of pressure, and then there's a series of lies that reinforces it, right? To stay in that. And it takes real honesty to go, how do I feel loved? How do I feel validated? Usually you can start there if you're really honest, and you can go, yeah. And for me, performance, people pleasing, and absolute just intense perfectionism drove me to the point where it stole my relational grid. So if I was talking to somebody, it's like the agenda was first and foremost, not just connection. It was like, what are we doing here? What's the accomplishment? I had to learn to become more relationally vulnerable. I had to realize that I've got junk. I've got struggles I'm going through. And then it was through that I realized the anxiety, the OCD battles, certain addictions I fell into, they stemmed from this rejection. As the NIV says, the spirit that makes us a slave to fear, right? So it's like rejection's partnering with fear now to keep you just in this spiral. So I tried to like divide it up. Even in the book, I talk about certain profiles of people to help bring about an awareness of this root system affects us in so many different ways. But I would start with going, first and foremost, how's your relationship grid? And if I talk with somebody in that, and then secondly, how's your heart? How do you feel loved and safe? Those two questions are going to lead us right into the rejection camp. But we need to be open to that, because with our pain comes defense mechanisms. And usually all those defense mechanisms are created by rejection mindset. Don't let people in. Don't let them see you're hurt. Don't let them see that you're weak and wounded. And that was tough for me because I'd kind of put on this robe of I'm a pastor. I've got
to have it all together, right?
I have to. Yeah, it was like And no one told me otherwise. And that's really the problem. It's kind of like when God came to Adam and Eve and he said, who told you this? That was something I needed to assess, that.
Cause we don't model vulnerability to each other, right? We model performance.
Totally. And that's what was modeled for me. And so that enhanced the fear in my life. It enhanced the intensity because that was what was hanging in the balance. And I didn't realize that I could just be myself, and that in that, God would actually work more powerfully than in, not that he didn't work before, but it's like he works best through just an authentic vessel. Good, bad, ugly, yeah. Flaws, issues, struggles, sins, whatever. That's what he works through the most. And I didn't get that. I was like, no, I've got to have this together. And what a freedom, Matt, to realize I can be myself, my Father in heaven, my Abba, my dad loves me, and he's got this. He's got my back. Yeah. And now if I live from his approval, it's a totally different world than like, no, approval is laying in the balance. I got to get this right. I got to make, you know, that's a terrible way to live. And I'm so hungry to help people to know you don't have to carry that burden. You don't have to carry that yoke of pressure. There is a greater ease that God wants to invite you into. But man, we got a lot of junk screaming, right? That's not allowing us to enter into that.
Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.